our series on traction, forward motion. Are you finding it? Man, I am. I'm no longer settling for treading water. I'm done with being stuck. I'm moving forward. Isn't it great to see Linda back? Been gone 2 months. She says, like, being home. And I see Sister Espinoza back here. This is John Espinoza's wife. He was a police officer in Wichita, and him and I used to drive Napa trucks together. I always liked having John with me because he brought a gun. And he'd set it right there between us. I said, John, I feel so safe here with you. And we would drive out in western Kansas, and he was an incredible police officer, so well-known in our city, and just an incredible community officer, was connecting with people. Big guy. He was great. I just loved him so much. And he was in our area where we had the Salvation Army Center. And so it's an honor to see you here today. Bless you. Thank you for coming. Well, we want to talk about, we want to continue talking about what we talked about last week, is finding traction through cultivating gratitude. How many of you need more gratitude in your life? Is that a weak place for you, or is that a strong place for you? See, it doesn't come natural, does it? It's something you have to plant. It's something you have to water. It's something you have to cultivate. You got to do some weeding once in a while. Those weeds get in there. It takes some effort. But I'll tell you what, if you will cultivate gratitude in your life, you will have traction. I guarantee you, you will have forward motion. Why is it so important? Well, we know last week we looked at this scripture. Paul told Timothy, hey, Timothy, mark this down. Mark this down. He said, in the last days, and he gives a list of 20 things that are going to be present in the last days. Have you experienced any of those things? All right? And what's buried right in the middle of that list? And there's some big boys in there. There's some big things on that list. But go back. What's in the middle of the list? Ungratefulness. Ungratefulness. It's a powerful force in the opposite direction that we want to go. And God is wanting to do something special in us. We're not like the world. We're going to be different. We're going to stand out in the crowd, right? Here's the scripture, Colossians 2. We looked at it last week. The Apostle Paul, understanding the reality of the world, he says, see then that just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Don't just start, keep it going, right? How many people have started and stopped? He says, I want you to continue on in this life that God has given you, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. See the garden? It's there. We're rooted. We're planted. And what happens? Oh, we are going to be overflowing with thankfulness. Listen, that should be a natural byproduct out of your life. Do you believe it? Paul went on to say in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, always. How many of you are uncomfortable with this verse a little bit? Man, I hear words like always and never. You know, always, always, always pray without ceasing, rejoice. How do you do that anyway? Is that really possible? Or is that just for your refrigerator? You know, put that up there and look at that. No, it's a relationship that we have with God. Is that right? That's how you have it. It's just a relationship. Prayer is not just something you do. It's who you are. You just walk with God and you commune with Him every day. And so we can do the very thing that Paul is saying here. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And what? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And listen, keep reading in that text. If you have it on your phone, what's verse 24 say? I don't know. I read that list. I kind of like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Well, there's some good news if you keep reading in that chapter. He says you're not going to do it. He said God's going to do it in you. It's all going to be done by the Spirit of God. He's going to work this in you. Is that right? Thank goodness. I thought it all depended on me. But it doesn't, because if we're rooted and if we're really plugged in, like Paul said, it's going to be a natural outflow of our lives. It's not something we're going to have to wrestle with so much. It's just going to be there, all right? And we all know this, the spirit of gratitude, just to be able to thank God in all things. I heard a great story this week. My wife and I were sharing it. There was this lady who had a child in daycare, had a babysitter, like at Kim's place, was that one of the daycare center. And she was at work and got a call from the care provider and said, your daughter is very ill. Kind of like what, you know, Taylor was talking about today, and you need to come and get her. And so she said, okay, and she went and talked to her boss. She said, man, I got to go. My daughter's sick. And so she got in the car, and she started driving towards her house, and she stopped at the at the drugstore at Walgreens, you know, and to get some medication for her. And she was, so, you know how she was so stressed, and she locked her keys in her car. And so she comes back out, and she goes, oh, no. So she calls the daycare lady. She says, I'm sorry, I've locked my keys in my car. She goes, oh, listen, your daughter's getting worse. She's getting worse. You really need to come. She said, well, I don't know what to do. I've locked my keys in the car, and I don't have farmer's insurance where I could have towing if I need. No, just kidding. Just kidding. If you had a good agent, they'd take care of you. Okay. So she said, well, listen, get a hanger. Go get a hanger, and you can jimmy the door, you know. So she's just praying, and she looks down, and there's a rusty old hanger. And she says, God has provided a hanger for her. So she takes the hanger, and she untangles it, and she tries to get in the door, and it just doesn't, it's not happening for her, okay? She's frustrated. You ever been there? It's just not happening. And she prays, and she says, God, send somebody to help me. Send somebody to help me. She had been just a few minutes, and all of a sudden, this rusty old car pulls up. And inside's a big old bruiser of a guy. He's even got one of those biker skull caps and big tattoos on his arm, and he looks a little scary. And she goes, great, Lord, this is who you sent me? And he says, can I help you? And she tells him the whole story, and she says, he says, well, I'll unlock your car for you. He gets out of the car, and man, just this giant guy, and takes the clothes hanger. Man, 1 minute, he's in. She just hugs him. She says, thank you so much. She says, you are such a nice man. And he turned and looked at her, and he said, ma'am, I am not a nice man. He says, I've only been out of prison for 2 hours. I was part of a car theft ring, but I'm glad I could help you. And she hugs him and prays this prayer. She says, Lord, thank you for sending me a professional. You can thank God in all things. You just have to look for it, all right? God can provide for you. Amen. Well, you remember last week we talked about the four levels of gratitude that our good friend Adrian Rogers presented to us. And we're looking, there's four levels, and we're going for level what? We're going for level four. We want level four gratitude. And here's those levels. Level one, I don't know if you can, it's not working, is it? Hello, back in the back. Can you help me? There you go. Oh, now go back the other way. We're getting ahead of back. There it is. All right, level one. If you're a level one, you are a constant complainer. Is that you? Is that any? Or maybe you're married to that person, or you know someone like that. A lot of times they don't know it, but you have to tell them. But they just complain about everything. Or you're a level two person. You don't complain, but you never give thanks. You're not a very thankful person. Or level three, where a lot of us are, we love giving thanks. If things are going good, everything's well, life is grand, we can give thanks, all right? You can get stuck in one of those three places if you're not careful. Remember, forward motion. You will not have forward motion in the first three levels. You must go for level four. And level four is those who give thanks in everything. And that's what the apostle was encouraging us to do. Is that right? We want to be thankful in everything. Well, last week, and you got your insert, we only did two letters. Today we're only going to do two letters. We thought we'd go through this pretty quick, but we want to take our time because we want God to give us everything he has. We took the letter G, do you remember? We can't go through the scriptures. You have to read them if you weren't here. But someone who is generous, we found, are people who understand the grace of God in their life. They understand that they don't deserve anything, but that God has been gracious to them. And they understand the grace gifting in their life, that everything is by grace, and they are generous people. In fact, the most generous people I know are the most grateful people I know. And giving is not difficult for them. If you struggle with giving, you're not grateful. If you're grateful, it's just an overflow out of your life. Isn't that what it said? Yeah, it'll overflow out of our life. And generosity, not just money, time, gifts, everything, your whole life, you're just a giver. And you can't help it because you're so grateful. What was R? Remember R? R was grateful people are people who are good at remembering and recording what God has done. Do we have a tendency to forget? Mm-hmm. What's that scripture? Forget not his benefits. Forget not. You mean you could? Could you forget? Have you ever forgotten? It's amazing sometimes to watch people. It's just awful what's happening. And say, but wait a minute. Look in the rearview mirror of your life. Has God ever, has God brought you? Yes, yes, he has, yes. Well, listen, don't forget, the disciples, remember Jesus said, did you guys forget about the feeding of the 5,000? Oh, yeah, yeah, we remember that. How many baskets were left over? 12. How do you forget that? How do you forget 12? I mean, I would remember that. I'd take that to my grave, wouldn't you? And would that give you hope? Would that give you faith? Listen, that's why it's important, isn't it, to journal. We're talking about writing it down, writing it down. And we're going to have next week, we've got a template for you that someone gave me in first service. We're going to have it for you in the foyer, which will help you if you've not done any journaling. It'll help you journal. But we talk specifically about having a gratitude journal. And you heard Taylor talk about it this week, the idea of, what are three things every day that you can be grateful for? And write them down. And we looked at Ann Voskamp's book, 1,000 Gifts. Remember that? She wrote a whole book about 1,000 things to be thankful for in her life. And that's what she just set out to do that, and it became a book, okay? I believe you have things to be grateful for every day. And if you can tap into that through gratitude, it can give you traction in your life. And we don't have time to look at all the benefits we looked at last week. Get the CD or go online. There are some incredible benefits that you can have in all kinds of areas in your life just through this whole idea of being grateful, all right? Being grateful. We challenge ourselves to have a gratitude adjustment in our lives. It will open the most stubborn doors that you may be fighting right now, just the attitude of gratitude. All right, you ready for the next two letters? Here we go. Letter A, awareness, and appreciation. Awareness and appreciation. I believe, and my own experience has been, that grateful believers see things that other people can't see. Yeah. You can take a grateful person and an ungrateful person, put them in the same situation, and the grateful person will see things differently than the ungrateful person. They are going to be aware of things. That it's like Greg's story. I loved his story about going hunting with his dad with the binoculars, remember? His dad said, you see that deer over there? No, I don't see it. Well, look, it's right over there. No, I can't see it. Hands him the binoculars. I see it. Listen, the binoculars of gratitude will help you see things that other people cannot see, and it will give you a spirit of appreciation. They have an awareness, I believe, that allows them to hold hands with the paradoxes of life and the kingdom. Anybody here, you feel like your life is a paradox? The Apostle Paul, he talked about a lot in his life. Things, you know, that are hard to reconcile. You know, I'm a child of God. We read all those wonderful scriptures today. We worship. We come to all these wonderful things. But sometimes life is difficult, you know. I believe these are the people that know how to have a good, bad day. These are people who can go through a tough time, but they see things. They're aware of things. They're appreciative of things. Listen to this. Paul spoke of the paradox in his own life in 2 Corinthians 6, 8 through 10. Listen to what he said. This sounds like double talk to me. He says, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as an imposter, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. What's he see? He's holding hands with the paradox of life because all these things are true, are they not? Can two things be true at the same time? Can I be living in a tough situation and yet be able to be grateful and thankful because I see what others may not see? Is it possible the negative and the positive are together in our lives? Paul seems to lay it out there. I have nothing, yet I possess everything. What's he see? What is this attitude he has? I believe it's an attitude of gratitude. Look at Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. You know the scripture, don't you? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How many of you know we're living in evil days? Is it true? Are you living in evil days? Yeah, Paul says, you're living, I dropped you right down in the middle of this thing, And it's not always as much fun as we'd like it to be. Sometimes life is tough, and we are affected. Innocent people can oftentimes be affected by the evilness of the world. And he says, because of that, you need to walk carefully. You need to be very careful. You need to pay attention. Don't be a fool, but be wise. Redeem the time. Don't waste it, because these days are very evil. Therefore, he says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine. Listen, I understand. Don't you? I mean, this life will make you drink. Is that true? It can. I mean, some of you will say, I don't drink alcohol, but I'll pop the pills. How about you, right? Whatever it takes to find relief. Hey, why? I understand why. Because this life brings a lot of pressure on you. And some people drink their cares away. I understand that. They self-medicate because life is so hard. Well, here, the Apostle Paul, can two things be true at the same time? He's acknowledging the reality of this life. And then he uses this junction here. He says, but, it's all true. It's all true. But, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hold on a minute. That sounds like a birthday party to me. Wait a minute. You just said that I'm living in an evil world. You just said that I better be careful because there are traps everywhere for me. You just told me that life is tough. And now you're telling me we're going to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is that true? See, it's the paradox, isn't it? And gratitude is what opens our eyes to see things that even though all this is reality, this is also true. This is also true, right? What about 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10? Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. There's a paradox. Take an old clay pot and put a treasure inside of it. Listen, that's crazy talk. You don't do that. But not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? He says, this earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side. True, but we're not crushed. See, some people say, oh, don't confess that hard, don't confess that hard-pressed stuff. Oh, no, it's reality. I am hard-pressed. It's the paradox. But I'm not crushed. We are perplexed. You ever been there? I don't understand what's going on in my life. I'm confused. Lord, I need some answers. How many of you have struggled for answers and it's hard to, you can't see it. Listen, he says, I am perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I don't give up. I'm not throwing in the towel. You know who throws in the towel? Ungrateful people. When you're grateful, you don't throw in the towel. When you walk in a spirit of gratefulness, you're walking in God's power. He says, I am persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I am struck down, but I am not destroyed. Wow, what a paradigm. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Wait, we got dying and living all going on at the same time. We got an evil word, but we're rejoicing and we're making melody in our heart. Notice it's in our heart. It's not a phony thing. Has anybody ever told you, fake it till you make it? I'm not interested because I don't want fake. I want real. How about you? I want genuine. I want authentic in my life, and it's going to be in your heart. I'm not just going to mimic the words, but I want God. See, if I'm really grounded in Him, I'm going to have an awareness and appreciation. I'm going to see things that other people do not see. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, just moved down the chapter. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Can two things be true at the same time? For our light affliction, which is just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, what are you seeing? What's your awareness? Don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Grateful people see eternal things. They don't just see the temporal. We're not in denial of the temporal things. They're there, but we don't dwell on them. We look beyond them, and we see the eternal. That's why Paul was able to say these words and write these words. Rejoice in everything. Wait a minute. We saw the list last week, didn't we? What's that list of things that happened to him? beat five times, 39 lashes, beat with a rod, I mean, in fear of countrymen. I'm thinking, Lord, how could... He understood this, did he not? He said, that's light affliction compared to what I know in my heart to be true. He said, I'm not looking at the temporal things. I'm looking at the eternal things. Gratitude will help you do that. If you move in ingratitude, you'll never see it. You'll be totally focused on the problems of living, and you'll never see what God is doing. Philippians 4, 11 through 13, you know the scripture, don't you? Paul said, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Do you see it? Two things true at the same time? And what's he conclude with? The scripture we all know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. I think it's a heart of gratitude that gives you a heart of contentment. You've heard the story. I was sharing it in first service when I was in Valley Center, and we were building our building, new building, and we were building by cash. And some of you here were there. You remember that. And we came to an impasse, and we ran out of money. Have you ever thought you were hearing from God, and then it didn't kind of work out the way you thought? Wait, I could have swore I heard from God. God said, don't borrow money. Not that it was wrong, but in this case, no. But, Lord, we're out of money now. What are we going to do? You know, and we had black plastic across the back of the church where the two buildings separated. And I got to the place, and I hate to confess this to you, but I walked through the sanctuary one day, and I cursed that plastic. I said, I hate black plastic. And I went to a church meeting, and they took up this big offering. You know what I'm talking about? You go to a big church, and they announced the offering total, and I thought, man, that's what we need to finish this project, Lord. Hello? Hello? Make them give me the money, Lord. Make them give me the money. They didn't do it. And so I go back to this, and I'm just so disgusted and upset and frustrated. I'm a little angry, and I'm thinking, what are we going to do, Lord? I actually felt bad because I thought I looked a little foolish that I'd led people to this point, and here we were. And I was sitting there one day, and I'm not saying... I know a lot of people say, well, God told me this and God told me that. I'm glad for you. I'm a little jealous. I've had God drop some things into my heart, I think, or thoughts. But this thought came to my mind. I think it was God speaking to me. He said, Joe, that plastic's going nowhere till you learn to be grateful for it. And when you can be grateful for black plastic, we can move forward. And so I said, okay, Lord, but you're going to have to do this work in me because it's not there. It's just not there. And I got to the place. I started going in every day. Lord, thank you for this black plastic. And I picked up a missionary magazine. I remember I was looking at it, and it talked about this church that were meeting out in the bush, and they didn't have a building, and they were meeting under trees, and it was raining one day, and they just sat there and got soaked. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, they would love to have the black plastic. And here I am cursing it. And God changed my heart. And I began to love black plastic. I still love black plastic. And you know, as soon as I opened the door of gratitude, the provision came. It was amazing. In 90 days, the money was there. God was waiting for gratitude. He was waiting for gratitude. Well, let's do T, and then we'll stop here for today. The telescope effect. Psalms 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. How many of you like that verse? What does that mean? Well, there's two different types of magnifying that we could be talking about today. There's the microscope and the magnifying glass. You ever had a magnifying glass when you were a kid? Well, now that we're old, we have a magnifying glass, don't we, for other purposes? Yeah, we're reading with it, right? We're making small things look bigger than they really are. Is that right? Isn't that what you do with a microscope? Isn't that what you do with a magnifying glass? But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a telescope effect. How many of you ever looked through a telescope? What do you do with a telescope? You look out in space, don't you? And how many of you are intrigued? I am. With the new telescopes that they put up in space, and they send back these awesome photos. And what are they showing us? They're not making little things look big. They're letting us see things for as they really are. They're letting us see the big things as they really are. He's saying, we want to magnify the Lord. We're not trying to make a little God look big. We're wanting people to see God for who He is. He is big, isn't He? Psalm 69, 30 through 32. Here's how you do it. You ready? Here's how you do it. He's going to tell us how. He says, I will praise the name of God with a song. We did that today. Check it off. We did it. Okay. And will magnify Him with thanksgiving. We're going to magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull. The humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your hearts shall live. Wow. So he said, listen, the telescope is thanksgiving and gratitude. And if you'll look through it, you'll see God for how big He really is. There's nothing little in God. Everything is big, but you get able to see it. And grateful people can see it like no one else can see it. You can see it. So why is thanksgiving and gratitude better than an ox or a bull? I mean, an ox or a bull, that'd be good, wouldn't it? They have a lot of value, don't they? But in Psalms 50, verses 9 through 14, you'll see God's attitude about it, all right? Listen to what He says. He says, He's talking for God. He says, I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens. For all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. How many times have we quoted that scripture? I know every bird on the mountains. Isn't that interesting? And all the animals of the field, they're mine. If I were hungry, I'd never tell you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? And then He says this. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. And down in verse 23, he who brings thanksgiving as his sacrifice honors me. Honors me. When we offer thanks, we're saying that God is big and we are little. And God revealed something to me this week about me. Is that sometimes I have a tendency to try to magnify myself. It's the magnifying glass. What's the magnifying glass do? It tries to make something little seem bigger than it is. I do that with, I want to put myself in the best light. That's not what God's after. In fact, it displeases Him. In fact, these people, they thought by bringing bulls and ox, they could do something for God. Their hearts were totally in the wrong place. He said, no, you come to me with a place of gratitude. You're not going to do anything for me. I own everything. What I really want from you is a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. And I realize so oftentimes, even subconsciously, I'm doing things for God. I'm doing work for God, hoping to make myself look bigger. When really, no, it's God that we need to magnify. Is that right? It's God that we need to magnify. God, in Scripture it even says that God magnifies Himself. Why does He do that? Does He have an ego problem? He needs to stroke Himself? No. What's He really want? He wants people to see Him. And by our thanksgiving, we can magnify Him to others. Do you see the power? Do you see the connection? I want to close with a story. It's in Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. See, when we magnify God, we are acknowledging who He really is in our life. And this story is about to, we're going to see a woman who did that very thing. She magnified God in an unusual context. It's in Luke 7, 36 through 50, and you can read along. I'm reading from the New Living Translation because I love the way it puts it together. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. And so Jesus went to his home and he sat down to eat. And when a certain immoral woman from the city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. And then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Anybody uncomfortable yet? See, when you're grateful, you throw off restraint. You can't help it. It overflows when you're really thankful. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, he was thinking, man, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Jesus knew exactly what he was thinking, and he answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher. Then Jesus told him a story. Did you know the shortest distance between a man's heart and truth is a story? Jesus knew it. It is. That's why you need to tell your story. People will listen to a story. It'll connect them to the truth. It's the shortest distance. So tell your story. Jesus tells a story. He says a man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces of silver to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debt. And he said to Simon, who do you suppose loved him and was the most grateful? And Simon said, well, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. Jesus said, that's right. Then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss. But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head. But she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, Simon, her sins, and they are many, they have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love and much gratitude. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love and little gratitude. You know, ungrateful people, they don't see what God has done for them. Do you see? Are you like, this woman is me. Her sins are many. My sins are many. God has forgiven me. It's not by my own merit. How can I not be grateful? See, if you're grounded in that, gratefulness will overflow out of your life. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You want peace? It comes through gratitude. Gratitude will bring you peace. Gratitude will set your life. You say, oh, is it going to get rid of all my problems? No, you're trying to get rid of the paradox. You can't. God planted you right in the middle of this firefight. And it's going to be tough some days. But through gratitude, we're going to see things differently. We're just going to look at stuff. We're going to see things other people don't see. In fact, people will be standing next to you going, what is with you? Why are you so grateful? Oh, listen, because they're like Greg when he couldn't see the deer. What do you see? Don't you see it? Don't you see it? I'm sorry, I don't see it. Gratitude is the binoculars that will help you see. And the telescope of gratitude will magnify God. And that is one of our missions, isn't it? We need to magnify God. This Easter is a great time to touch people's life and to magnify God. Invite people to church. They'll come Easter when they never come any other time. Why? What do we want them to come? Why do we want them to come? We want them to see Jesus, yeah? We want him to be magnified. We want them to see him for who he really is. We're not trying to make a little God big. We're trying to make a big God visible. And it'll happen through your life and your story. Amen? How many of you have been disgruntled lately and gratitude has been hard for you to find? I encourage you to ask God to open your eyes and let you see something fresh and new and let it raise up in you just like that woman. I mean, she went outside the box. Let me tell you, you just didn't do what she did. She couldn't help it because her heart burst with gratitude. I believe that's what God's wanting to do in our lives too. Amen? Amen? Father, I pray for this church that as we come to this table this morning, it is the place that magnifies your presence in our life. When we think about the bread and the cup, how can we not be grateful? How can we not be grateful? We don't want to be like Simon. We want to be like the sinful woman. Because much was forgiven her, and much has been forgiven us. Lord, we had an impossible debt that could not be paid, and you paid it for us totally by mercy. That's why the veil has been lifted. That's why we've been allowed to see what we see. It is so we can partake of your wonderful mercy today. And out of that, how gratitude is a natural outflow. Lord, we want to magnify you to our neighbors and our friends and our families. Would you help us tell the story? And they'll see you for who you really are. Forgive us for trying to magnify ourselves, trying to make ourselves look bigger than we really are. Father, we humbly come to you and we recognize that we're the ones who are the benefactors. We're not the givers. And forgive us for times we thought it was us and it wasn't. It was really you. And if we really come to that place and understand it, it will take us to that place of gratitude. It's not the ox and the bulls that you desire. It's a broken, contrite heart. It's a sacrifice of praise. Father, we want to give that to you. And I pray this week for this congregation, for myself included, that we could walk in it. Especially when the paradox is staring us in the face and nothing makes sense. And Lord, we're wondering what it's all about. And we're trying to find answers that we can't seem to find, Lord. Can we do what Paul said? Can we just create melody in our hearts and begin to praise you and thank you? And somehow in the midst of that, our eyes will be open and we'll see what we've always wanted to see. I pray it be so. Lord, bring us to that place of peace. In Jesus' name. Lord, we come. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a gift and never presenting it. What a waste. We don't want to waste gratitude today, all right? We're going to wrap the gift and we're going to give it away. We're going to see things we've never seen. We're going to have a spirit of appreciation like we've never had before. How about in your marriage? Would that be helpful? How about with your children? How about at work, that job that you just despise? Maybe you need a fresh look. Maybe you're there for a reason. Some of you think you're stuck. Maybe you're not stuck. Maybe you're right where God wants you to be. I don't know that. But I'll tell you, there's only one way to find out. Start being grateful and see what God might show us. Magnify Him. Magnify Him. It's our greatest mission. In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to magnify Him everywhere I go. We're going to bring some little stuff. Connie's working on it. We got the No Bunny Loves You Like Jesus. Remember that with the little tweets? We're going to get a bunch of those. You take them and don't throw them. Sow them. Okay? Sow them. You give them to somebody, you hand it to them, and you say, "This, the Lord loves you." And they might look at you like you're crazy. Tell them the story. Tell them your gratitude is contagious, and people will be drawn to it. Amen? Let's celebrate today. We're like Paul. Yeah, we're in an evil world. Yeah, things are really tough. Yeah, I don't have all the money. Yeah, all that's true. But. To make melody in my heart. I'm going to offer up the sacrifice of praise to God, and I'm going to honor Him. And when I do that, whoa, get ready. The black plastic's coming down. Who needs their black plastic down? You just need to start by being grateful today. Father, we love you. I love this church. You have filled my heart with gratitude. Lord, I am not deserving to stand in this place. Lord, I am little, but you are big. And I pray you would magnify yourself among us in this next couple weeks as we prepare for Easter. Let it be the greatest time of resurrection in our lives. We love you and we love each other. In Jesus' name.